RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Still broadcasting from the fourth floor of RRI building in Jakarta. Welcome back, listener, on Indonesia Today. This is a program that takes you closer to Indonesia. And now it's my turn, Rahma, to present the program till the next 2 hours with various interesting programs and information that you won't miss. And today's special program of the day, we have a program that reviews newly launched book and film on book film review. Then we have a music program on Meet With. So keep listening at voi.co.id, voi.co.id. Or for more direct link to the video streaming, you can click english.rriworldservice.com. So listener, why don't have to wait any longer to enjoy this next program? This is book and film review from Voice of Indonesia. Check this one out.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. Government urged to boost consumer spending to reach 5.3% growth. Research reports Indonesia needs to balance China's and U.S. influence. Indonesia optimistic to achieve 10 million tourist target in 2015. Now the news in detail. The government of Indonesia should immediately implement certain economic measures such as lowering fuel prices, appealing to the central bank to decrease interest rates and maintaining existing electricity tariffs to increase people's purchasing power to help reach the 5.3% growth targeted in 2016 state budget. This was stated at Nisbet Firmansa, an economics professor at the Paramadina University. He told the JakartaPost.com during a discussion in Jakarta on Wednesday that domestic consumption should be restored to boost the confidence of the consumer and business players. According to Firmansa, if Bank Indonesia BI would not lower interest rate to less than 7.5% due to the risk of capital outflow, the government should at least lower fuel prices as wood oil price had dropped below the nation's standard and maintain electricity tariffs in order to increase economic growth in 2016. Indonesia needs to balance the influence of China and USA in the ASEAN region and to prioritize strategic partnership with other countries. This was suggested by research from the University of Sydney. It suggests the implementing Indonesian pre-enacted principle in politics by sustaining equilibrium between the major powers is key. The research also states that Indonesia's stand on U.S.-China relations is a preference for no single preponderant power in Southeast Asia, expressed through the concept of dynamic equilibrium. However, historically, the Sino-Indonesian relationship has been more troubled and lacks the warmth and familiarity that exists between the United States and Indonesia. Indonesian foreign policy establishment also tends to be warier of China than the United States. The research added that considered against this background, the particular emphasis on the relationship with China under President Joko Widodo replaced a degree of catch-up rather than overtaking the U.S.-Indonesian relationship. Indonesian natural beauty, culture and tradition make Indonesian Tourism Ministry optimistic to achieve 10 million tourist target in 2015. This was stated by Assistant Deputy of Asia Pacific Market Development of the Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Vensius Cemade, during an interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia yesterday.
From January to September, we already got 7.2 million tourists. We are quite optimistic with the 10 million target because this year the government of Indonesia has put in place some strategic policies, visa-free policy. So we hope that from this policy, we can increase by 15 to 20% from the last year. So that's why for our 10 million target, we are quite optimistic that we can achieve that.
The pre-visa policy for 90 countries is one of the easiest ways that the Indonesian Tourism Ministry uses to achieve the 10 million tourist target. This step is also followed by the regional governments to support it by developing infrastructure and facility for tourists to easily access their regions. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian government and Russia government cooperate in the field of combating terrorism to respond to acts of terrorism that occur in Peru's part of the world recently. Cooperation in the field of combating terrorism is carried out by means of dialogue, information exchange, as well as through various trainings. This was stated by Russian Ambassador to Indonesia, Michael Galushin, while giving a press conference at his residence in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon related to the terrorist acts and Russian jet shooting by Turkish security forces recently.
Of course, there is cooperation between the Russian and Indonesian side in the field of combating terrorism. We have certain channels of dialogue, we have certain channels of exchange of information, we have certain channels for personal training, but you know, this area is, this cooperation in this kind of area is a very sensitive one, and it is not what is frequently spoken in public.
However, Ambassador Michael Galushin cannot provide more detailed information related to the cooperation in the field of combating terrorism between Indonesia and Russia, because it has been discussed by related agencies and ministry by the two countries and it cannot be published. In addition to the cooperation in the field of combating terrorism, Indonesia and Russia also have conducted intensive cooperation in the field of defense and nuclear industry. In June 2015 in Moscow, the Governor of Indonesia and Russia Federation signed a memorandum of cooperation in the field of nuclear energy for peace, followed by the signing of a memorandum of understanding in September 2015 in Jakarta relating to project development nuclear power plant and floating nuclear power plant in Indonesia. The government of Indonesia is finalizing government-private partnership KPS and foreign loan funding project, and this will be achieved early next year. This was stated by National Development Planning Minister Sofian Jalil. Speaking on the sidelines of an economic seminar on Wednesday, he said that the government wants to ensure that the constraints faced so far in absorbing loans and implementing the public-private partnership program would not emerge again in 2016. Moreover, the finances needed for the impressive project of the KPS program and external loans are relatively high. Based on the National Development Planning Board or BAPPENAS data, the government has set a target $23.5 billion for the KPS infrastructure project. The Deputy for Regional Infrastructure Affairs of the Coordinating Minister for Economy Affairs, Luki Eko Wuryanto, said the funding of the KPS and external loan projects largely depended on the level of the readiness of the projects. Therefore, he asked the technical ministries, which are responsible for the project, to finalize all the preparation stages before the year 2016 begins. The last item, Tara Basro, the Indonesian artist who won the Indonesian Festival Film FFI Award 2015 and Indonesian movie director Gary Nugroho, were chosen as ambassador of the French Film Festival 2015. Director of the Indonesian François Institute IFI, Mart Vitton, said on Wednesday that Gary Nugroho was selected as a licensed person of the Indonesian and French film industry since his film titled Down the Atas Bantal, A Leaf on a Pillow, was chosen in the category of Uncertain Regard at the Cannes Festival Film 1998. Coordinator of the French Cinema Festival 2015, Arnaud Miquel, explained that Tara Basso was chosen as the ambassador of the Cinema Festival because her credible acting in A Copy of Mind and was awarded FFI 2015 the Best Female Actress category. According to Tara Basso, the French Film Festival provides a wide selection of movies to the Indonesian audience. She hopes the Indonesian filmmakers could more freely express themselves by making movies. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Improving Teacher Competence in the Era of Globalization. Indonesia commemorates 25th of November as National Teacher Day. The National Teacher Day in Indonesia is based on Presidential Decree No. 78-1994. This date coincides with the establishment of Indonesian Teacher Association in November 25, 1945. Teachers have a strategic role in determining educational success and help prepare students for the potential development of the nation's future. Formally, the Law of Republic of Indonesia No. 20-2003 on the national education states that teachers are professionals. In addition, Law No. 14-2005 on teachers and lecturers mandates that teachers are professional educators with the primary task of educating, teaching, guiding, directing, training, assessing, and evaluating their students on early childhood education through formal education, basic education, and secondary education. Advances in science and technology in the era of globalization had brought dramatic changes to influence the pattern of human life in this hemisphere, including the students. Cultural transformation occurs in all aspects of community life, so the changes are inevitable to happen. In addition, the globalization era, characterized by the transformation of information technology, has led to a fierce competition so quickly and fundamentally, with the various risks of life, including in education. The question is that how to improve the competence of teachers in Indonesia in the era of globalization. The teacher's task is not merely giving lessons to the classroom, to their students, but also to be able to become role model and show good conducts. Teachers are also required to have high creativity to attract the student to interact, dialogue, exchange ideas in an interesting and fun atmosphere of teaching and learning process. In this context, the teachers should really be agents of change and become professional figures that are constantly responsive and critical of the developments and dynamics of civilization that occur on their surroundings. Teachers as a backbone of change in a country are the main subject whose professionalism needs to be improved in order to boost the quality of learning. Indonesian government has officially declared that the profession as a teacher is comparable to other profession as professionals. Congratulations on the National Teacher Day to all teachers throughout Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Ania Sena, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on November 26, 1950, when Chinese and North Korean forces launched a major counterattack against the forces of South Korea and the U.S. Today, exactly 65 years ago, there was a troop movement that marked the Korean War. On November 26, 1950, following the defeat suffered by the Chinese troops at the previous battle, Chinese troops mobilized a large-scale counterattack in South Korea. Assisted by the Soviet Army, the Chinese Army launched an offensive which destroyed South Korea and the U.S. defense. As a result, based on the statistics in the aftermath of the war, there were 15,000 casualties suffered from China and the U.S. And the next event was in 1990 when Lee Kuan Yew resigned. Lee Kuan Yew, born Harry Lee Kuan Yew, on September 16, 1923, and died on March 23, 2015, informally known by his initials, LKY, was the first Prime Minister of Singapore, governing for more than three decades from 1959 to 1990, including through Singapore's independence from Malaysia in 1965. After Lee chose to step down as Prime Minister in 1990, Lee's successor, Goh Chok Tong, appointed him as Senior Minister, a post he held until 2004, when his elder son, Lee Hsien Loong, became the nation's third Prime Minister. The elder Lee then assumed the advisory post of Minister Mentor until he left the cabinet in 2011. In total, Lee held successful ministerial positions for 56 years. He continued to serve his Tanjung Pagar constituency of nearly 60 years as an elected member of parliament until his death in 2015. And the last event was in 2011, is about the 2011 NATO attack in Pakistan. The 2011 NATO attack in Pakistan, also known as the Salalah incident, Salalah attack, or November 26 attacks, was a border skirmish that occurred when US-led NATO forces engaged Pakistani security forces at two Pakistani military checkposts along the Afghanistan-Pakistan border on Saturday, November 26, 2011. Two NATO Apache helicopters, an AC-130 gunship, and two F-15E Eagle fighter jets entered by varying estimates as little as 200 meters to up to 2.5 kilometers into the Pakistani border area of Salalah in the Baizai subdivision of Mohman Agency, Fatah, at 2 a.m. local time from across the border in Afghanistan, and opened fire at two border patrol checkposts, killing 28 Pakistani soldiers and wounding the 12 others. The two Pakistan Army checkposts were codenamed Boulder and Volcano respectively. This attack resulted in a deterioration of relations between Pakistan and the United States. The Pakistani public reacted with protests all over the country, and the government took measures adversely affecting the U.S. exit strategy from Afghanistan, including the evacuation of Shamshi Airfield and closure of the NATO supply line. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with today's focus entitled ASEAN Member Countries Are Expected to Maintain the Unity for the ASEAN Economic Community 2015. So stay tuned. Listener, the existence of the Association for Southeast Asian Nations, or ASEAN, is expected to maintain the unity and peace in the region ahead of the implementation of the ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, at the end of 2015. Without unity and centrality, ASEAN will struggle for the influence of great powers, and ASEAN must be able to present peace and regional stability. This was stated by Indonesian President Joko Widodo, or Jokowi, in a plenary session at the 27th ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on November 21st to 22nd, 2015. According to President Jokowi, ASEAN must be able to become a flexible and efficient organization. President said the mechanism to quickly and appropriately respond to the world development should be strengthened so as to contribute to solving the world, and ASEAN must be part of the solution to the problem. Meanwhile, at the end of 2015, the AEC 2015 blueprint will formally be announced and launched by the heads of state, government of ASEAN. According to Indonesian Trade Minister Thomas Lembong, the ASEAN Economic Community 2025 blueprint is a continuation of the commitment of all ASEAN countries after entering the AEC 2015 to improve the quality of integration and economic growth in the region. This will be done through the five pillars of the AEC in 2025 with its action plan, among others, focusing on empowering small and medium enterprises, harmonizing non-tariff policy, as well as increasing the ASEAN interaction in the global economy. ASEAN also agreed to finalize the delayed commitments of AEC 2015 as a priority agenda in 2016. Meanwhile, Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla asked the public not to worry about the ASEAN free market, that will be applied in 2016, but instead, what to worry about is the lack of professional personnel. Vice President also said that the current economic slowdown is felt by most countries in the world, but every country has its own strengths to deal with it. The Vice President explained that Indonesia has strength, namely in terms of large consumers and also strong human workforces, as well as pretty good natural resources. Therefore, the Vice President asked Indonesian community to make use of those advantages. And listener, that was Focus.
Listener, here is the headline of several national newspapers published today, November 26, 2015. We begin with Kompas, which in its headline wrote, "Food data inaccurate." Central Statistics Agency, or BPS, questioned the crop's data quality as the basis for food production calculation collected from the Ministry of Agriculture and the Agriculture Department in the regions. Interest conflict appeared because the collected data is used to justify the program success by the data collector institution. The doubt had long been expressed by many. For instance, 2 months ago, Vice President Yusuf Kalla questioned the result of the first prediction rate of rice product that reached 75.55 million ton dry grounded rice. The number is seen as too high. In Kompas' record, at least since 5 years ago, the House of Representatives, businessmen, and observers doubt the national food production data. The next headline comes from Media Indonesia, "Protect House's Ethics Council from Intervention." Along with the progress of the House of Representatives Ethics Council, or MKD, towards the ethical code violation allegation of House's Chairman Setia Novanto, many means to weaken the Ethics Council is also ongoing. Deputy Chairman of MKD, Junimart Girsang, had been offered an amount of money to secure the Novanto's case. MKD Chairman Surahman Hidayat from Prosperous Justice Party said, "MKD's independence will not be shaken by any intervention." Separately, Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said said, if there's violation from the Ethics Council's result, he will not report Novanto into the court because the law enforcers will. Director of Lingkar Madani Indonesia, Rai Rangkuti, asserted the decision of Novanto's case must be open and have a panel team with the elements of society inside. Listener, we end today's headlines with Business Indonesia. Russia cancels economic cooperation with Turkey. The tension between Russia and Turkey increased after the Turkey military shot down Russian jet fighter. Russia ensured retaliation. Russian Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev asserted the retaliation will be conducted through trade and tourism sector. According to the Prime Minister, the important cooperation projects between the two countries will be cancelled soon. Medvedev said Turkey companies will lose their market in Russia. Moreover, Russia has reminded its people not to visit Turkey. Russian Defense Ministry had also cancelled military cooperation. The military steps had also been done by the country by placing their warships in the coast near the Su-24 jet fighter shooting location. Not only that, Russian Foreign Affairs Minister Sergei Lavrov also refrained from visiting Turkey. Well, listener, that was the headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. The government of Indonesia should immediately implement certain economic measures such as lowering fuel prices, appealing to the central bank to decrease interest rates, and maintaining existing electricity tariffs to increase people's purchasing power to help reach the 5.3% growth targeted in 2015 state budget. Indonesia needs to balance the influence of China and USA in the ASEAN region and to prioritize strategic partnership with other countries. This was suggested by research from the University of Sydney. It suggests that implementing Indonesian pre and active principle in politics by sustaining equilibrium between the major powers is key. Indonesia's natural beauty, culture and tradition make Indonesian Tourism Ministry optimistic to achieve 10 million tourist target in 2015. This was stated by Assistant Deputy of Asia-Pacific Market Development of the Indonesian Tourism Ministry, Fensius Cema De Curin, in an interview with RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia yesterday. Indonesian government and Russian government cooperate in the field of combating terrorism to respond to acts of terrorism that occurred in various parts of the world recently. Cooperation in the field of combating terrorism is carried out by means of dialogue, information exchange, as well as through various trainings. The government of Indonesia is finalizing government-private partnership KPS and foreign loan funding project, and this will be achieved early next year. Tara Basro, the Indonesian artist who won the Indonesian Film Festival FFI Award 2015, and Indonesian movie director Gary Nugroho were chosen as ambassadors of the French Cinema Festival 2015. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we invite you to visit Lampung Province to see the Pekon Balak. So, stay tuned. Listener, Pekon Balak is a pekon or village located in Pesagi Hillside, exactly in Batu Braksab District, West Lampung Regency, Province of Lampung. In Pekon Barat area, there is a kingdom which is still surviving, namely Kingdom Paksi Pakskala Brak. The kingdom is a silent witness to the resistance against the Dutch, UK and Japan, and where Lampung people exist for the first time. Therefore, all people in this village are the origin of Lampung people and of course fluent in Lampung language. Because the kingdom is still preserved, it is no wonder if the culture and customs still are there and always used by the people, especially in an important event such as customs ceremony, wedding ceremony, birth and circumcision. Arriving in Pekon Balak, you will be welcomed by unique houses of the local people. Most of the houses are made of wood and stilts. Stilt houses are made because long time ago there are animals in the area which are wild animals, for example tiger, lion, etc. Therefore, if people do not make the house like stilts, it will be really easy for them to be attacked by the wild animals. Interestingly, every house in this place has their own name. So if you want to ask about the address of some people around, you have to mention the name of the citizen along with the name or of their houses. Otherwise, it will be hard for you to find the house. Even you will be reprimanded by the locals if you forgot to mention the name of their houses.
listener, in Pekanbalak, you can enjoy the natural beauty of paddy fields and hills. Because it is so beautiful, the location is often visited by photographers, both national and international. In Pekanbalak, you can enjoy the view of sunrise. Also, on Pekanbalak, there are seven fountains that can improve your health. According to the local people, many people call the fountains as the fountain of divinity. It is called so because right above the fountain, there are the tombs of the kings of Skalabrak Kingdom. Listener, the Fountain of Divinity is really well known because of its savor. It is proven by the paddy, which is irrigated by the fountain, which will still be fertile even in the dry season. And anyone who bath or drink the water from the seven fountains are believed to be staying young. By the way, to reach the location, you will pass through more than 1,000 steps. In there, you will see many people bathing, drinking, and washing in the seven fountains of divinity. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Pekanbalak from Lampung. We meet you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Mr. Lenny on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Steve, in Mr. Lenny. In today's edition, we are introducing you to the Buy Nothing Day. As we know, various products now can be found at every market in the whole of the country, including Indonesia. Not only that, the purchasing ability of the people also increases rapidly. This is a positive impact of Indonesian economic development. However, is this really positive for people's mentality development? Because we often hear that many people will do literally anything to get the products they wanted. Even worse, people nowadays are willing to trade their resting time with shopping time merely for chasing a discount. For this reason, the Buy Nothing Day is commemorated every November 26. Buy Nothing Day commemoration has a simple goal, which is raising public's awareness to be more sensitive towards anything they buy and question anything related to those products, including the manufacturer. The Buy Nothing Day was first initiated by a Vancouver artist, Ted Dave, which then is promoted by Canadian magazine Adbusters in 1993. In this day, people are discouraged from any transaction for 24 hours. Besides that, there will be campaigns calling out the danger of consumerism to the public and invite them to participate in the campaign. Buy Nothing Day will not change our lifestyle instantly. Instead,
It is giving an experience to make changes. Buying a thing day should be put in everybody's mind, especially during holidays like Eid al-Fitr and Christmas. Today is commemorated to remind the people to think about others, friends, and their own future, not themselves only. If you try to buy nothing for one day, just count how much you can save. And then you can use the money for more important matters. So, let's support the Buy Nothing Day by literally buy nothing. Well, listener, that was Miss Eleni featuring Buy Nothing Day. Thank you very much for listening and see you next time.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back with me Steve in Music Corner, a musical segment introducing you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or the modern ones. In today's edition, we will introduce you to Egy Band. Listener, in the middle of descending Indonesian music industry, both in quality and quantity, the music industry still presents new bands. Nevertheless, many music lovers witnessed the birth and the death of these new bands. Realizing this tough competition, Egy Band, consisting of Egy Tepi as the keyboardist, Rosa the vocalist, Gilang guitarist, and Rengo the drummer, they cooperated with Shine Record and released album entitled Beda or Different. As the album's title, the band was formed in Jayapura, Papua in 2007, offers different tastes through their 10 songs. And now listener, before we continue, let's enjoy one Egy song entitled Menghitung Bintang or Counting the Stars.
Thank you. Robert Tappy, the executive producer of Eggy Band, explained the concept of their band. Their genre tend to be pop rock or different alternatives. We call it so because we are not dominated with the melody distortion, less of beat and mellow, admitted Robert Tappy. He added, basically, their music genre is very universal. Iwan Fals and David Foster are their inspiration. Beda is the second album of this band, based in Bogor. They also have released Cerita Cinta or Love Story as their debut album in 2012. However, there is significant difference between the first and the second album, both in personnel and the content of the songs. Besides leaving Eggy Tappy is the old personnel and changing vocalists, their style also changed significantly. And now, listener, let's have another song by Eggy Band entitled Karunia Terindah or The Most Beautiful Gift. Of their 10 songs, Menghitung Bintang, Kau Memang Beda, Karunia Terindah, and Gemetar are expected to be their main selling. These songs have various colors of pop, rock, jazz, blues, and disco. They claim that the songs could not increase their sellings. For instance, Kuatkanlah or be strong, and entah di mana or do not know where. They said these two songs already have their own fans in various social media, for example, Facebook and YouTube. Robert Tappy said that his son, Eggy Tappy, who suffered from the nerve development disorder or autism, but he still has a gift. Even Crisianto, the vocalist of Jamrud Band, once declared his admiration to Eggy. He said there are many people with autism who can play music instruments really well, but only in their own community. Robert's pride of Eggy Tappy is not only about his skill to play music instruments, because despite of difficulty in communication, he can still fight and also sing Bukan Mauku or Not My Will with really well. Therefore, it is not exaggerating if he claims his band is good both in musicality and inspiring lyrics. Well, listener, before we end today's edition, let's listen to Bukan Mauku or Not My Will and Sanggup Tanpamu or Can Be Without You. Thank you very much for listening. See you again next time.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Jangan kau kira aku akan hancur. sikat ka ngayon.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.